the beginning, we now have the background information. So this Uddhava Gita is prior to Krishna's departing for his own abode. This is after the battle of Kurukshetra. And Uddhava is aware that Krishna is about to leave. And Uddhava approaches Krishna and says, I want you to take me with you when you leave because I am too attached to you. But Krishna tells Uddhava, no, I have service for you. So there is a lengthy conversation in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna questions. So in the same way, Uddhava poses many questions to Krishna, and Krishna answers in the 11th canto. And therefore, this section, many, many chapters, from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 29, is called the Uddhava Gita. For those who just arrived, please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Try to hear with rapt attention. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having achieved this human form of life, which affords one the opportunity to realize me, and being situated in my devotional service, one can thus achieve me, for I am the reservoir of all pleasure, and I am the supreme soul of all existence, and I reside within the heart of every living being. You will notice in this Uddhava Gita many things that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita are also reiterated in the Uddhava Gita. Krishna continues, a person fixed in transcendental knowledge is freed from conditional life, giving up false identification with the products of the material modes of nature. Seeing these products as simply illusion, one avoids entanglement with the modes of nature, although constantly associating with them. And because the modes of nature and their products are simply not real, one does not accept them. One should never associate with gross materialists, those dedicated to gratifying their genitals and bellies. By following such materialists, one falls into the deepest pit of darkness, just like a blind man who follows another blind man. The following song was sung by the famous emperor Pururava when deprived of his wife Urvashi. At first he was bewildered, but by controlling his lamentation, he began to feel detachment. When Urvashi was leaving him, even though he was naked, he ran after her just like a madman and called out in great distress, oh, my wife, oh, terrible lady, please stop. For many years, Pururava had enjoyed in the evening hours with Urvashi. And still, he was not satisfied by such insignificant enjoyment. His mind was so attracted to Urvashi that he did not notice how the nights were coming and going. This point is also explained in the ninth canto in the story of Yayati, which is another interesting episode. When he's instructing his wife, the story of the he-goat and the she-goat. Maybe we can do that some other time. It's in the same vein. But Yayati, at the end of enjoying for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, because although he was cursed by his guru to become old immediately, he was able to take the youth of his youngest son. His youngest son accepted his father's old age so that the old father could enjoy. Fortunately, none of you young children have to go through that. But when Yayati is instructing his wife, he tells her that lusty desires are such that here I have enjoyed hundreds and hundreds of years of sense enjoyment, and still I'm not satisfied. And so he said, the only thing is you just have to stop it. Because as long as you chase after sense enjoyment, and this is explained in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, Dushparena Analena Cha, lust is never satisfied and burns like fire. And Pururava is another classic example. He was enjoying with Urvashi, but no end, not happy. So now we go to part two. So, previously, I gave you the incident that Urvashi left Pururava and then he wandered the earth like a madman. So at some point, he sings the blues. And this is his song, which Krishna is relating to Uddhava. King Pururava said, alas, just see the extent of my delusion. This goddess was embracing me and held my neck in her grip. And my heart was so polluted by lust, I had no idea how my life was passing. But that lady cheated me so much, I did not even see the rising or setting of the sun. For so many years, I passed my days in vain. Although I'm supposed to be a mighty emperor, the crown jewel of all kings on earth, just see how my bewilderment has rendered me a toy animal in the hands of a woman. I was supposed to be a powerful lord with great opulence, but that woman gave me up as if I were no more than an insignificant blade of grass. And still, naked and without shame, I followed her, crying out to her like a madman. Where are my so-called influence, power, and sovereignty? Just like an ass being kicked in the face by the she-ass, I ran after that woman who had already given me up. What is the use of a big education? What is the use of the practice of austerities or renunciation? And what is the use of studying religious scriptures or living in solitude and silence if after all that, one's mind is stolen by a woman? To hell with me! I am such a fool. I did not even know what was good for me, although I arrogantly thought I was highly intelligent. Although I achieved the exalted position of a lord, I allowed myself to be conquered by a woman as if I were a bullock or a jackass. Yes. Even if I had served the so-called nectar of the lips of Urvashi for so many years, my lusty desires kept rising again and again within my heart and were never satisfied, just like a fire that can never be extinguished by the oblations of ghee poured into its flames. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, same thing. Who but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lies beyond material perception, known as Adhokshaja, everybody say, and who is the Lord of the self-satisfied sages, who else can possibly save my consciousness, which has been stolen by a prostitute? Because I allowed my intelligence to become dull, and because I failed to control my senses, the great confusion in my mind did not go away, even though Urvashi herself gave me wise counsel with well-spoken words. Yes, that part I didn't relate, but I will give you the synopsis. So after Urvashi had left, for a year, Puruva was wandering the earth, lamenting. Here's the king of the earth. So after 1 year, she returned to him. And she chastised him. She said, why are you lamenting? You should not lament. You should understand that your senses, they're like foxes. There's no use trying to enjoy your senses. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, if you don't control your senses will destroy your spiritual life. You have to control the senses. The easiest way to control the senses, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. She said many things, but it's not appropriate for me to repeat. You can read that in the ninth canto. But she really told him on his face. How humiliating. Huh? Think about it. How humiliating. Puruva continues, how can I blame her for my trouble when I myself am ignorant of my real spiritual nature? I did not control my senses, and so I am like a person who mistakenly sees a harmless rope as a snake. So this is intelligent. He takes responsibility. He owns. He doesn't play the victim card. He says, it's my own fault. I allowed myself to simply be attached to this beautiful woman. Now we get into, let's see who knows. What's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita? Not the body and your eternal soul. So, watch now what Puruva says. What is this polluted body anyway? So filthy and full of bad odors. I was attracted by the fragrance and beauty of a woman's body. But what are those so-called attractive features? They are simply a false covering created by illusion. There's a nice story Prabhupada wrote called Liquid Beauty. There was a young girl, and there was this young man, and he was pursuing her. And he was very brazen and bold. And she was a chaste girl. So she said, no, not right now. Come back in a week, because I'm going to separate for you my beauty. So the lusty man was thinking, oh. So during the week, she took all kinds of purgatives and different things, so that all week she passed stool and urine and vomited, and she kept all of that in a big pot. So when he came back after a week, he was thinking, now I'm going to enjoy. And when he knocked on the door, there was this emaciated, ugh. And he goes, where is the girl? She goes, oh, I'm the same girl, but I have separated my beauty for you. Well, let me see, let me see. And then she shows him the big pot of stool, pus, vomit. Here's my beauty. So that's same thing that Pururava is speaking here. One can never decide whose property the body actually belongs to. Does it belong to one's parents who have given birth to it? Does it belong to one's wife who gives it pleasure? Does it belong to one's employer who orders the body around? It is the property of the funeral fire or the dogs and jackals who may ultimately devour it? Is it the property of the indwelling soul who partakes in its happiness and distress? Or does the body belong to the intimate friends who encourage and help it? This same question is found also in the pastime of Narada cursing Nalakuvara and Manigriva. And in that, Prabhupada says that ultimately the body belongs to material nature. The body. Because the body is made of material nature, and at death, when the soul leaves, the body once again becomes one with the material nature. But the same kind of questions there appear. Narada is saying, does it belong to this? Does it belong? Very much similar. Although a man never definitely ascertains the proprietor of the body, he becomes most attached to it. The material body is a polluted material form heading toward a lowly destination. Yet, when a man stares at the face of a woman, he thinks, oh, what a good-looking lady. What a charming nose she has. What a beautiful smile. What difference is there between ordinary worms and persons who try to enjoy this material body composed of skin, flesh, blood, muscle, fat, marrow, bone, stool, urine, and pus? That's what's inside the body. Ask any doctor who has done autopsy. Yet, even one who theoretically understands the actual nature of the body should never associate with a woman or with men attached to women. After all, the contact of the senses with their objects inevitably agitates the mind. Same thing Krishna says in chapter 2. That as soon as you start to contemplate the objects of the senses, you get attached. And when you get attached, now I want to enjoy. But Krishna says, you try to enjoy, you will become frustrated. And after frustration, anger. It's a scientific spiral. It's all there in Bhagavad Gita. Because the mind is not disturbed by that which is neither seen nor heard, the mind of a person who restricts the material senses will automatically be checked in its material activities and become pacified. So in the bhakti process, We don't deny the senses, but the senses are engaged in relation to Krishna. Instead of looking at Bollywood, we look at Radha Krishna, or we look at DVDs done by Kamlesh Prabhu. Instead of hearing songs about sense gratification, we listen to kirtan, bhajan, pravachan. Instead of eating nasty things, and did you all see the news this week? The World Health Organization, it took them long enough, but they have concluded meat causes cancer. Duh! And immediately the meat industry is in overtime trying to counteract. Well, we have our scientists who say it's okay. And I was reading the article very carefully. They said, you should just eat a little. Yeah, right. Don't work that way. But it was big headline of the week. Yes, they should have asked us. We could have saved them millions of dollars in research. They should have asked me. One email, I would have charged 100,000. I wouldn't have charged a million. Therefore, one should never let the senses associate freely with women or with men attached to women. Even those who are highly learned cannot trust the six enemies of the mind. What to speak then of foolish persons like me? Everybody.